We see there in that wonderful psalm about how God's all of creation cries out to his glory. If you'll turn with me in the book of Genesis for just a moment, I'm going to be preaching to you out of a different passage, but we're going to have a special prayer here in a moment, and I want to read to you a couple verses from Genesis chapter 1 before we get into the text we'll be examining this morning. Today is, among all kinds of denominations, Christians around the world, is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's when we really set apart and remember that we're all created in the image of God. So we're going to have a special prayer about that, because so often that's not looked upon as true in this society. It's nothing new under the sun. But God tells us in Genesis chapter 1, he said there, "Then God said, let us," that's the Trinity, "make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God created every person we'll ever see in the image of Almighty God. And so often, God's children don't look at everybody as created in the image of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah, "Before you were in the belly of the womb, I knew you and sanctified you." Psalms tells us that he knit us together in our mother's womb. It's a great evil in this nation and society, the evil of abortion that so surrounds us. It's so seldom talked about so often, but we really need to be praying. We're going to have a special prayer for that, that God can have mercy on this nation, and that can be gotten rid of. That is not respecting the sanctity of human life. That's what we set aside this Sunday to do, is to remember that God created every person in the image of God, and he loves them. So let's take a moment and pray that this evil thing called abortion will be eradicated and taken away from this nation and from the world. So go to the Lord in prayer, to the throne room of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've created us all in the image of God, Lord, in your very image. That, Lord, we're not just some animal wallowing around, Lord, but we are your children, that you created us. You knit us together, Lord. You took your hands and created us. We thank you, Father God. There's so many of those poor children around us that, Lord, they're created in your image, but society doesn't see that. Lord, you knit them together, but the world refuses to accept it, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over this situation, Lord, that may they be taken care of, Lord. May this evil that the world calls abortion, Lord, but it's truly just murderousness, Lord. We ask you to take that away out of this nation. And Lord, we beg you in the name of Jesus to get rid of that, Lord. And may we as God's children, Lord, show us how to be employed in this world whereby we may bring an end to these evils around us, Lord. As we look to you and await your coming, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you so much that you are God, that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Lord. And we ask you and beg you to get rid of these evils, that, Lord, that so curses this world and harms our nation, Lord, and most of all harms these innocent children, Lord, that you love so dearly. You told us in your word, Lord, that someone would be better off to be tied to a millstone and thrown in the sea than to harm a little one, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to turn these people's hearts, so many of them governing our nation, that, Lord, they may love you and love the children that so many are destroying. We thank you so much for your faithfulness and your love. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Amen. Praise God. And make that a special prayer this week. That grieves the Holy Spirit of God so deeply. I praise God for that. We can all pray on that. The Lord, he is truly, truly faithful. And if you'll turn with me in the Bible, now we'll get to the text that we'll be examining this morning. Remember to pray on that this week. We'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 7. I know your bulletin says James 3, but we're going to be in Luke instead. As I studied last night, the Lord impressed upon me to preach out of this passage. Instead, we'll be in Luke chapter 7. I'll give you a second to find it. And once you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of the Word of God, Luke 7, beginning in verse 11. Luke 7, verse 11. The Lord tells us, he says, soon afterwards Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for our word. We thank you, Lord, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, that it can pierce us, Lord, and we can draw close to you. And we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, thy Son, help us to do just that it may pierce us and show us the way, that we may be more like you and closer to you and love you more deeply and follow you more fully, Lord. Give the words us to preach this morning and give us all ears to listen to what the Spirit saith, Lord, to us, to your children, to the church, a living God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Remember, Jesus says in the Word of God that he came not only to give us life, but life more abundant. Life in him, the abundance of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He don't want us to be famished with the fruit flowing forth from the Holy Ghost in our heart, but he wants us to have a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of holiness, a harvest of life. He says here in Luke chapter 7 and verse 11, soon afterward what? If you'll read earlier in Luke 7, there's one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, is where Christ heals a centurion's servant. Up there, he says he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed." And he healed him that day. And Jesus said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." What a wonderful blessing. Go home and read that this afternoon about how God healed that man by faith. We need to have faith in Jesus Christ, trust in him, knowing that he will guide us and show us the way, that he is the way, the truth, and life. He says there soon afterward, in verse 11, right after he did that, not very long after, he says, Jesus went to the town called Nain, he says. Not only him, but it says, and his disciples and a large crowd. He went to this town with his disciples and a large crowd followed him. It's amazing when we read the life of Jesus that the large crowds that followed him sometimes, he'd say a hard saying, they'd turn around, follow him no more. Oh, he'd start healing some people. Here they showed back up, wanting something from God. They're wanting him to give them something instead of what they can do for the Lord, instead of the wonderful blessing they can receive from God. They wanted just material things. Heal us of this. Heal us of that. It's a wonderful thing. We want to seek healing from the Lord. But when the time gets tough, when the sayings get tough, when the Word of God cuts you to the heart, we need to listen to the Word and not turn back, not fall away. He says here, his disciples and a large crowd, this large crowd followed him. It says they went along with him. They're going with him to this town called Nain. In verse 12, as he approached the town gate, he says. Now, the town gate, in the olden days, was a very important place. That was the vital place. It's where typically where the leaders of the town would sit. They'd sit in the town gates, the city gate. It was the center of action, the center of what was going on in that town. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. Notice here, he's a dead person. He wasn't a sick person. He's graveyard dead. Dead in a hammer, as we say. He wasn't a little sick. He didn't have a cold. He was gone. Done for. As he approached the town at gate, a dead person was being carried out. Now, who was this dead person? He says here, it was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Lord help that woman. Her husband had already died, and it was the only son. All she had left. Back then, that was an even bigger deal. It's a big deal now, without doubt. That's a terrible thing, a horrible loss. But back in them days, if you didn't have family, your close of kin, take care of you, a lot of times, ladies didn't have anybody to take care of them when all their their male friend, family members had passed away. It was a different society, so she was in a dire need, not only for the grief that she lost her son and her family, but for the need she would have, the only son of his mother. Lord help. And she was a widow. Notice here, and a large crowd from the town was with her. They were mourning. It was a sad day for them, a very sad day. We notice here in verse 13, just as the Bible tells us, that he will take our weeping and mourning and turn it into joy and laughter and gladness. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." The Lord saw her. Notice here, he saw her from a distance. God sees us from way up in heaven, sees down here. He sees every problem we've been through. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a man that was acquainted with grief. He knows what it's like to be grievous sometimes. He lived this life down here below. Jesus had friends. He had family. He was Almighty God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. It says here, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. His heart went out to her. He cared about her. You know, God cares about his creation. As we just read in Genesis, we're created in the image of God. We're not just some animal that wallers around and God looks at us and laughs. No, we're his children. He created us. He knit us together. God loves you. He loves me. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary so that we can have redemption when we put our faith in him. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. His heart goes out to us, to all his children down here below. So many that's lost in this lost and dying world, this wicked place, has turned away from him, but his heart goes out to them because he loves them. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins spiritually, his heart went out to us. He loves us. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And he did that when he was on the cross of Calvary. The Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry, don't weep, don't be sad." He says, "Don't cry." Verse 14, then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. This old feller, he was riding down that coffin. He was dead. You know, one of these days, unless the Lord comes back, I'll be riding in a coffin someplace. They'll be hauling me down. Spirit will depart from the body to be with the Lord, and they'll throw that thing in a hole somewhere down in Cleveland. Brothers and sisters, we're all going to be looking at this and say, one of these days, I'll be sitting in that coffin. One of these days, I'll be sitting in that thing unless the Lord comes back. Are you ready to meet the Lord? This person was dead, graveyard dead. One of these days, we too can remember that we're mortal. For dust we are, and to dust we shall return. Are we ready to meet the Lord this morning? Are you ready to meet the Lord? We praise God. We all made it here this morning. There's many people. Their last breath was breath. This morning, brothers and sisters, are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you put your faith in him? Is he your Lord, the Lord of your life? Is he your closest friend? Is he the one that has saved you? Have you called upon him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have you put your faith in him? We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. He says here, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. They stopped. God was about to work in this moment. He says there, he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Praise God, the power of the word of God. It brings the dead to life. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Jesus told him, "Get up." Notice here, he could have healed him and said, "Keep on laying there and rest a while." He said, "Get up. Young man, I say to you, get up." When we're risen from the dead spiritually, when we're saved by the grace of God, when we're risen from spiritual death, saved from the path of hell, he tells us too to get up. Don't be sitting around. We need to be up about the Father's business. He's got a task for me, a task for you. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He's got a task just for you, just for me. Each and every one of us have a gift and calling from the Lord. He calls us to get up. Get about it. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Glory to God. That dead man sat up. God healed him. He's still in the healing business. He's still doing healing to this very day. He always is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. God is faithful. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. He sat up, began to talk. We need to begin to talk as God's children. How many times have we had the opportunity when we're risen to walk in newness of Christ? We're risen to walk, risen from spiritual death. How many times have we refused to talk, refused to speak to the Lord, refused to speak to those about the Lord. The dead man sat up and began to talk. He'd been through a glorious thing, a glorious transformation. He was dead, and then he's alive. But we too were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and now we're alive in Jesus Christ. This man, he began to talk. He had something to say about it. Do we as God's children have something to say about it? Are we going to witness to those around us? That's what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And he gave him back to his mother. Glory to God. What a joyous day that would have been for her to receive her child again from the grave. Notice here in verse 16, they were all filled with awe. Now, we're all filled with something every moment of every day. We have a choice to make what we're going to be filled with. We're going to be filled with hatred, anger, variance, and strife, lust of the flesh, and wickedness. We're going to be filled with awe in God's presence. You know, we see in some of the Psalms and Scripture, it says our God is an awesome God. And that's not talking about, well, this thing's awesome, as we use it nowadays. Awesome is truly, they were filled with awe. Filled with awe of the glory of God. Filled with awe of what He'd done. They were all filled with awe. We need to remember who our God is. He raises the dead. He fills us with the Holy Ghost. What are we going to be filled with? We want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with awe and praised God. Isn't that wonderful? They praised God there together. So many of these people were not praising God at the cross. The only disciple there was the Apostle John. We need to be filled with awe and praising God every day, no matter what may come down the road, no matter what the old devil may throw at us. We need to be filled with awe of God's Word and God's presence. You know, this book will amaze you. It amazes me. Ezekiel tells us about, I believe it's Ezekiel, when the water's proceeding out of the temple of God. And as you kept going in deeper and deeper, the waters got deeper and deeper. The more we get inside the Word of God, the deeper and deeper it will be. The more we get in it, the more it'll get in us. Oh, we can read old John 3:16 one time, and we go back and we can read it and get even more out of it. The more we get in the Word of God, the more it gets in us, and more it's filled with us, the more we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We can be filled with awe of God's glory. This book amazes me as it's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's active. We need to be staying with the Word of God. They were filled with awe. Be filled with awe. Be full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an active thing. We need to be filled every day as we leak, our bucket leaks. He says here, they were filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us. Aren't you glad that I don't worship? We don't worship some old great prophet. We worship the Son of Almighty God. He's not some prophet. Prophets come, prophets go. Prophets come, they'll tell you the Word of God, and then they die. I'm reminded over in Genesis what a wonderful thing it was that God told them, children of Israel, when Miriam Aaron was making fun of Moses because of who he married. What did God do? God came down there and was very angry with them because they refused to listen to Moses and the Word of God. They said, does not God not speak to us just the same? God told them, when I send a prophet, I speak to them in a dream. But Moses is not so. Moses, me and him speak face to face as a friend. What a glorious thing that was. In the Word of God, it gets more glorious than that. It gets with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God Himself that came down and spoke. He walked, He talked, and He does that same very thing to us this very day. He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me, I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I love that hymn, In the Garden. That's what it does for us this very day. He says there, a great prophet has appeared among us. He was no mere prophet. He was the Son of God. They said, God has come to help His people. What did Jesus come for? If we're reading Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, it says that He will come to save His people from their sins. That's what Jesus did. He didn't just come to save us from hell. It's a wonderful thing. We don't have to go to the place called hell. The Bible says that was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even created for people, but it says hell hath enlarged itself to accommodate the numbers of people rejecting God. But God, the Bible says He didn't just come to save us from hell. He didn't just say, here's you some fire insurance and live how you want to. No, Jesus came to save us from sin. He came to save us from the wages of sin as well, which is death. But He came to save us. He says, God has come to help His people. We have the choice to make every day, don't we? This old feller, he was dead and then he rose again. He could have stayed laying there kept living like a dead man, but he didn't. He got up. He spoke. He lived as an alive person. But we, as God's children, though we were once dead, don't we have a story to tell? Don't we have a wonderful blessing to be saved by the grace of God, to be risen, to walk in newness of life? We don't need to be living like dead people. We need to be living as alive, those are made alive in Christ. You know, Jesus tells us through the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians that death hath no sting. The sting of death is the law and sin. But glory to God, we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. I want to ask you this morning, in your life, are you living in victory? You know, the Bible says we're created in the image of Almighty God, His very image. There's a lot to that. It's not just because we look like Him. No, we're created in His image. He loves us. We're to be like Him. The Bible says when we get to heaven, we will be like Christ. Why wait? Why tarry? We want to be like Him now. How do we do that? Who is God? God is loving. He's faithful. We want to know what that is? It's the fruits of the Holy Ghost. We need to be living in that, letting God's Holy Spirit work through us, living a holy life, set apart for Him. We need to be filled with awe and praise God. It's not just some great prophet. It's Jesus Christ that's come to save us. Have you been saved? Have you been redeemed? Have you been born again? Are you trusting in Him? They said God has come to help His people. And that's what He does. He comes to help us. It says here, the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea. He's come to help us right now, here today. He saves us from sin. Are you living a victorious life, or are you living bound by some sin, bound by some chain? This man was bound by death. But praise God, he wasn't no more. We don't have to be bound by death any longer. We don't have to be bound by sin, because God has set us free. You can wrap yourself up in a chain, but it's not locked. We can wrap ourselves up in some sin. We're not locked there. Jesus come to set us free by the blood of Jesus. He says here, a great prophet has appeared unto us. When we faith in Him, He's Almighty God. They said God has come to help His people. Notice here in verse 17, this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This news, what's the translation of the word gospel? It means good news. It's good news that God has sent Jesus to come, seek out the lost, and save us. It's good news that we can live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. We don't have to be bound by sin. We don't have to be bound by the chains of death, hell, and the grave. We don't have to be bound people. We don't have to live as dead people. We can live as risen people. This news, it's good news. That's a good news. It's not a grievous news that we bear as God's children. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This news about Jesus, notice here, it spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. It spread. It's supposed to spread. We talk here a lot about spread and contact tracing with the viruses and all that stuff. Wouldn't it be great if we talked about the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ around us? Wouldn't it be great if we talked about contact tracing the gospel? We can see how quickly some of these diseases can spread. But wouldn't it be glorious to talk about how quickly the good news of Jesus Christ can spread if we'll get on our knees and seek the Lord? Get about, spread the good news around us at work, at home, wherever we go. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea. We want to spread the good news of Jesus in the surrounding country. Glory to God in the surrounding country. It went all throughout Judea. And this news went everywhere. We want to be spreading this. When we tell someone about Jesus, we say, look who's God saved. But if we're living the very same way as a dead person, if we're living dead in our trespasses and sin, well, some lost person, they'll be able to figure out, well, looky there. There ain't no difference in them. This thing must not be real. It must be a sham, brothers and sisters. If we're truly saved, if we're truly risen to walk in newness of life, there's going to be a difference in our life. There's going to be a difference how we treat those around us. We're going to treat them as someone that's created in the image of God. We're going to treat the least of these among us, including the little children, in love and not contempt. We'll be treating everybody with God's love if we truly show forth His love. If we truly love God, the Bible says we cannot love God and hate someone. How can we love a God, 1 John tells us, that we have not seen, if you hate someone who you already have seen? We see everybody around us, and they're all created in God's image. They're all loved by God. They were all died for on the cross of Calvary. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea. This man, he wasn't risen up from the grave to lay around as a dead person. We're not risen up from the grave of sin to live in sin and to live as bound people. God wants us, He's calling us to holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, no man, no woman will see the Lord. We'll never see Him without holiness. We'll never see Him without being set apart for His glory. Where does holiness start? It starts in our hearts, minds, soul, and strength by loving Him with everything, by loving Him with all that we have. Over there in the book of James, we're going to run real quick. In the book of James, chapter 3, as was written in your bulletin. Now is when we get to that verse. James, chapter 3. The Bible speaks. If we're going to treat everybody, if we're going to live as risen people, if we're going to live as the saved people, God's going to make a difference in our life. He says here, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, which the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. How did Jesus raise his man? He called him out with his words. He called him out and rise up, sit up. How did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. How much a difference can it make in our lives when we speak the word of God as Christ did, when we speak God's promises and listen to it and believe it with our heart? He says the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sees the whole course of his life on fire and itself set on fire by hell. Oh God, help us. The tongue is a powerful thing. If we're going to show God's love to those around us, if we're going to show that they're created in the image of God, if we're going to live as risen people and not as dead people, then our life, our whole life needs to be speaking the words of life. We need to be speaking the ways of life. He says here, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Are they going from the same spring? I'm reminded of when me and Ashley took a trip to St. Augustine. They got the strangest water down there. It's sulfur water. It tastes terrible out of the sink. It's not like here where we have nice springs. If you got a good spring, it's going to bring forth good water. If you got a sulfur spring, it's going to bring forth that old sulfury water. If we are dead in our trespasses and sins, we're going to be showing forth deadness in our life, in our speech, and how we treat those around us who's created in God's image. Oh, but if we're saved by the grace of God, if we're walking in the Spirit, then the fruits of the Spirit are going to be showing forth out of our lives. We've got to be living victorious. We can't earn our way to God's favor. We can't earn our way to living for Him. Look in your heart this morning. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us. They said, God has come to help His people. God has come to help His people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. In your life, are you living as a risen or dead person? Are you showing His love to those around us? We see here in the Word of God the importance of this. The importance that Jesus raised this person from the dead, and they didn't stay dead, but they were risen and alive. We've got to live as risen people, brothers and sisters, and not live as dead. We can look in our lives and remember what God's done for us. Let's all bow our heads and take a moment and reflect. He says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord back then. He's calling us as His children to prepare the way of the Lord now, to this latter day, as we await His second coming. How do we prepare the way of the Lord? What's He tell us? He raised that widow's son. We need to be living just as He's raised us from the dead. He spoke it up. He called him out. Young man, I say unto you, get up. He's called the same to us. And we need to be living for God by our heart, mind, soul, strength, our lips, everything. All of our being needs to be centered around the Lord. Ask yourself this morning, this week, have you been centered around the Lord? Are you living as a risen person? Are you living as a dead person who's not redeemed? Take a moment and only you and the Lord know the answer to that. So take a moment and pray to Him. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in Thy way, everlasting Father. We thank You so much for Your loving kindness, for Your redemption. Help us to live as risen people, Lord, risen to walk in Your newness and in Your eternal life, Lord. Help us to spread that life around us, Lord, both in word and deed, Lord. Loving You and serving You and doing everything we can, Lord, heartily unto Thee. We thank You so much, Heavenly Father. It's in the name above all names we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God for His love to us. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to take these candles out. It represents God's light going out into the world. Let's be the light.